was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. One of the questions that I get regularly asked here at the Huntsman World Senior Games, especially this time of year, is, do you have any new sports? And, you know, with 35 different sports to choose from, we really have quite a selection. I like to tell people that we have something for everyone. But we're also, at the same time, always looking for ways to grow and innovate. We want to meet the needs of those who are committed to active aging. And so in that spirit, you may have heard by now that we are indeed adding two new sports. I talked about this several weeks ago, but we're so excited that I want to mention it one more time. Disc golf as well as climbing are being added for the very first time at the Huntsman World Senior Games this year. Today, I want to focus just a little bit on climbing and kind of give you an overview of what it is and how we're doing it here. According to our good friends over at Wikipedia, paintings dating from 200 BC show Chinese men rock climbing. In early America, the cliff-dwelling Anasazi in the 12th century are thought to have been excellent climbers. We know early European climbers used rock climbing techniques to reach the summits in their mountaineering exploits. And in the 1880s, European rock climbing became an independent pursuit outside of the traditional mountain climbing. So there is a pretty deep history of rock climbing that goes a long ways back. Climbing at the Huntsman World Senior Games is going to take place at one of the West's premier indoor climbing facilities. It's called Contact Climbing. The event will be a two-day event with lead climbing and top rope climbing taking place on Wednesday, October 16th, as well as speed climbing on Thursday, October 17th. Our directors are Jeff and Jenny Compass. They're well known in the climbing world, and we are very excited to be working with them. Practice is going to be available at Contact Climbing on Monday and Tuesday, October 14th and 15th. And like most of our sports, we'll offer divisions for both men and women in five-year age groups. Registration for climbing, as well as all of our other sports, is now open. And we've already had nearly a dozen people register just for climbing itself. So if you're interested in climbing at the games, or you just want to know a little bit more about it, all the information that you need, including how to register, can be found at seniorgames.net. And we are pretty excited, as I said. Something else that I'm excited about is today's guest. Dr. Warren Butterfield has been in practice as an orthopedic trauma surgeon since 2007. He came to St. George in 2014 to assist in the transition of the local hospital to a level 2 trauma center and is currently the director of orthopedic trauma at Intermountain Southwest Ortho Urgent Care. Dr. Butterfield earned a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Utah. He completed medical school at The Ohio State University, and he completed an orthopedic surgery residency in Fort Worth, Texas, and he also completed a fellowship in orthopedic trauma at Grant Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio. Dr. Butterfield enjoys all types of outdoor activities, including hiking, mountain biking, skiing, and sport climbing, which we just barely talked about. And Dr. Butterfield volunteers year-round, coaching his children's mountain biking team, as well as soccer teams. Dr. Butterfield, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It sounds like you have a full plate.
I've got a full plate.
It seems like you have a lot of things going on, which I'm sure is awesome and very exciting. I'm curious, how old are your kids that you're coaching in mountain biking and soccer?
I have a wide range.
Okay.
That's actually a little bit of an old bio. I have one son left at home. I have
okay.
five boys.
Okay.
My oldest is 28 and my youngest is 15.
Okay. But is he engaged in soccer and mountain biking?
He is.
Those are the two things that he likes to do. And that's fun that you probably get to do the mountain biking together.
Fantastic.
Awesome. I love it. I want to get into your expertise. You're an orthopedic trauma surgeon. That's a combination of words that you probably don't necessarily want to hear, right? If you're injured, right?
If you're the patient.
But let's talk a little bit about what that is. What are some of the common injuries that you treat and specifically for the senior demographic?
Yeah, so orthopedic trauma surgery, maybe a little misleading. It sounds major.
It sounds pretty traumatic.
It sounds pretty traumatic, yeah. But actually, we treat a lot of just straightforward injuries. So my specialty is in fixing fractures.
Okay.
and the types of injuries that I commonly see in our active population in St. George, wrist fractures, hip fractures, ankle fractures, a lot of it not so fantastic mechanisms of injury, just slip and fall.
Yeah. Do you see, I'm curious in, you mentioned our active population here in St. George, which obviously is where you're based. I'm curious if you see a trend among certain sports. Is it biking? Is it pickleball? Is it tennis? Or is it just kind of across the board?
It's across the board. We have really, St. George is fantastic. We've got a lot of young people in St. George.
Sure.
A third of our population's over the age of 65.
Yeah.
So probably about half of my practice ends up being in that age.
Just by default, right? Just the numbers, yeah. The numbers, you know, play out.
And so we see a fairly even mix between all sports. I'll see pickleball, golf's a little on the low side, but okay. Pickleball, mountain biking, yeah. Pretty common injuries.
I would imagine that would be the case. If you are a patient, we were talking about these words and what it might sound like to a patient. This is something I always worry about and wonder about, but how do you know when it's just a little ache or a pain, or you really ought to go see somebody about it? If you're talking about something traumatic, you know, a compound fracture, that's an easy one, but, you know, maybe a little hairline fracture that you're not aware is there. What are some symptoms that you might look for that would say, hey, this is just put some ice on it and you'll be fine, but this is something you ought to maybe pay a little more attention to?
Yeah, that's a great question. We all deal with those types of injuries,
right.
Especially as we're aging and we're trying to pursue an active lifestyle. We're prone to have injury. And a good guideline is an injury that doesn't allow you to use the extremity. So, for example, I twist my ankle and I can't walk on it. That's something you ought to get evaluated. If I twist my ankle and it's swollen, but I can walk on it and I function just curtailed a little bit, that's something that I would probably recommend giving a little time.
Okay. But even in those cases, if it gets worse, you do bring it in. Like, are there guidelines that you follow there? Like, I can walk on it now, but tomorrow I'm not able to. Do I still come in, or is it just time that I need?
Sure. I think it depends on what you're looking for. There are some injuries that a little professional help can help you recover faster. It can help you set time frames in your mind about when I may be able to return to sport or what type of activities I could engage in. A lot of injuries, though, bumps and bruises, strains, we can say really 3 to 4 weeks, that should resolve. And if it carries past that point, then it's probably worth getting evaluated.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm also curious about level of care. Like, what are some indications when I need to get into the emergency room? And again, I'm not talking about a compound fracture. I think we all know the answer to that one, right? But what would be something I would watch for to say, I got to go to the emergency room, or this is something I can probably wait until tomorrow morning when it's, you know, the doctors might be available?
That's another good question we have debated. This urgent care has been eye-opening. We've taken care of a wide range of injuries. We've had several patients with hip fractures typically present to the emergency room, but they felt well enough that they walked into the ER or were helped into the urgent care, excuse me. And those are patients that we can take care of. They're obviously heading to the hospital after we see them in the urgent care. Our rule of thumb is if you can get yourself there with some assistance, urgent care is an appropriate place of treatment.
Let's talk a little bit for people about the difference between an urgent care and the actual emergency room. I think some people might think it's the same thing, but there is a distinct difference.
Yeah. Yeah, so an emergency room ideally is for true emergencies, so life or limb threatening. We don't use it that way in day-to-day life, but that's what it's geared for. So a lot of orthopedic injuries, if you walk in with a wrist fracture, let's say, they get downgraded just a little bit in the ER. It's not that it's not emergent, but it's not chest pain. It's not stroke. It's not breathing difficulties. And so as they're triaging up front, those injuries tend to get pushed to the bottom of the list, and you may end up waiting for a long time for the care that you need. You'll get great care, but it's not always.
You're not the number one priority.
Not the priority.
And you have to acknowledge that, right?
Yeah.
Somebody coming in with chest pain might go above a wrist,
rightly so.
A wrist or something, yeah.
So our urgent care is designed to provide a space where you have an injury, you're our only priority. and we treat musculoskeletal injuries, complaints all day long.
I've only been to the emergency room once, and what I felt was an emergency.
Yes.
Thankfully. But my son was, when he was younger, was going down a slip and slide, and he ended up just like slicing his leg all the way open. I mean, from ankle to knee. And when I looked at it, I was like, okay, now we're talking life or limb, right? You know, totally unqualified, but it just felt like such a big deal because you could see his muscles, you could see the fascia, you could see the whole thing. So we took him to the emergency room, which was, you know, it was also the 4th of July, so it was the only thing that was open. But that was our experience, and we were very comfortable with it. And it wasn't here in St. George, it was actually out of town. But we went in and thinking that this was life or limb, you know, and they were great. They looked at it, but then they were able to recognize that it wasn't, you know, life-threatening. It certainly was a significant injury. I think he got 88 stitches. It was a big deal. But we didn't get care for, you know, several hours as they took care of other people that were in front of him. And we totally understood that. But man, your adrenaline can get pumping in an emergency like that or in a situation right. like that, for sure.
And to that individual, to you, it's your emergency.
It felt like an emergency to us, for sure. And we, again, we appreciated the care. We received incredible care. You know, just overall a really good experience. And he is fine. He walks fine. No problems. Everything came back together. It knitted together. You know, 88 stitches took a while. It took a while to get better. But everything was good there. I do know that oftentimes our athletes during the games are here. And like you said, bumps and bruises, breaks, things happen on a softball diamond. They happen on a basketball court, a tennis court, pickleball court, whatever. So I like these guidelines of this is an option that, you know, if you're having those chest pains, absolutely emergency room is probably your best bet. Maybe even 911 is your best bet, depending on where you're at. But if you come around second base and you stumble and you catch yourself on your wrist and it's pretty sore, maybe the urgent care is a better place.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate that. I do want to also talk a little bit about maybe some of the experiences that you had. The urgent care is relatively new to our community. Is this something new in healthcare generally, or is this something that we're piloting here in our area? Is this orthopedic urgent care? I know a lot of InstaCares and urgent cares are available, but I'm talking about the orthopedic specifically. Is that brand new?
I think specialty orthopedic urgent cares, the concept of it, it's been around for 10 to 15 years
okay.
in different markets.
Yeah.
It's new to St. George. It's new to Intermountain Healthcare. And so piloting is probably a good word for it. We're working it out and trying to build that up in our community with hopes to expand it through the state.
So that being the case, I'm sure that there are still plenty of people who maybe haven't heard of it or don't know about it. We need to get the word out about that. But do you have some success stories of people who have come in, you've been able to help them and get them on their way right away?
Sure. Yeah, we've had a lot. One of the first patients we treated, it was the first week we were open. She was out mountain biking on a trail out near Virgin and crashed on her mountain bike and came in with a wrist injury, ended up being a distal radius fracture. It's very uncomfortable. She walked through the door. We got her in a room. I slipped right in with her, injected some lidocaine into the fracture site. Her pain went away.
Which was probably just like such sweet relief at that moment, right?
And then we can straighten it out and splint it and then have a conversation about how we treat that. But that whole patient encounter took about 45 minutes from the time she entered our clinic until she walked out with a splint on. And it cost her a fraction of what she would have paid in the emergency room.
That was another question I had. There is a price difference between an urgent care versus an emergency room situation.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to the emergency room, they charge a facility fee of about $1,700, not including your physician care. But
yeah.
That's just the cost of stepping into an emergency room. And that's paying for those higher level
the higher source care,
available.
The resources, the equipment that's available.
Yeah, which is appropriate for some patients.
But sure.
We feel like for isolated orthopedic injuries, we can safely take care of patients in an outpatient setting.
Awesome. I think it's such a great resource and such a value to our community. And our visitors, you know, we talk a lot about the games and the athletes that come to compete in the games in October, but we have visitors year round and they're recreating and they're mountain biking, they're hiking, they're four-wheeling, they're side-by-side, they're doing all these fun things, and sometimes the unexpected happens, and it's a great resource to have available. Again, I'm not looking for names or anything, but I'm wondering if you've experienced a positive outcome with a senior games athlete, or do you track them that way? Maybe you don't even know if they're athletes or not.
Yeah, so our first year with senior games, we opened it in September of, 2022,
I believe. Yes. I remember having this conversation about this was going to be a great resource for our athletes.
And we had one of the ladies that works in our office was out volunteering at the health booth, and she was sending lots of patients our way. And we were still starting out. We only had seen about 5 patients a day on average. Word was still getting out. We weren't really geared up for it. And we were seeing with the Hudson Senior Games about 20, 25 athletes.
Oh, so we really gave you some business.
And it really, my staff still has a little bit of PTSD about that.
You got to gear up for October, right?
But we're geared up now, yeah, and have definitely been able to help a lot of those athletes out.
That's such an indication that the senior games are in town in a lot of ways. You know, we tend to fill up the hotels, we fill up the restaurants, we do fill up the streets. It's not our intent, but sometimes we do help, you know, fill up some hospital space as well. But again, what a great resource. What a great resource. And especially for the majority of sports injuries that happen, you know, that are not those life-threatening things, but are uncomfortable and you'll need attention,
yeah.
A great resource to have and to be able to go in and avoid the added expense, avoid some of the longer wait times, and then not take up resources for people that actually need it, are having those, you know, those heart problems, the stroke, the kind of things that we talk
about.
They
need that emergency care.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Hours, are you open 24/7? Is it 9 to 5? How do people know when the urgent care is available?
So we're open 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Monday through Saturday.
Okay. So extended hours, but not 24/7.
Not 24/7.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Excellent. Very, very good. I do want to get into just a little bit of nitty gritty, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of your own sporting experience. So hold on for that. Do you traditionally take all kinds of insurance, or is there a special kind of insurance that's available for urgent care? And I know every plan is different, but generally speaking, could someone expect to be covered at an urgent care?
Yes, generally speaking, they can expect to be covered. Our St. George is a unique environment that we have one hospital system, and so we don't see really battles between insurance companies. We just take care of everybody.
Which is, I think,
ideal.
Yeah, ideal, right?
It is.
Everybody gets covered. Everybody gets taken care of. Okay, I do want to talk about some of your sports. I mentioned in your bio that you've engaged in, you love to hike, you love to mountain bike, you like to ski. You live in the perfect place for all of these things, and then also the rock climbing. Do you climb regularly, or is this something you do kind of sporadically? Because I just talked about climbing, and I want to get a feel for what you like to do and where do you go?
Yeah, so you asked about my youngest. His latest passion is rock climbing.
Okay.
So we've 2 or 3 times a week.
Oh, so regularly.
Regularly.
Yeah.
That's been fun for me. I did a lot of rock climbing in the past, and then you try and follow your kid's passion.
Sure, yeah.
Dad, and
yeah.
That hasn't always been their passion, but right now we do quite a bit of climbing.
So
you've got me thinking about entering, actually.
Well, that
I'm in the age group.
That was my next question. I was going to get to that. I was going to get to that in just a minute. I know that we have the indoor climbing facility that we're going to use for our competition, Cocktock Climbing. I've had the chance to go myself. It's an incredible facility. I don't know if you've had a chance to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're familiar with it. It's going to be so perfect for our competition. You don't have to worry about weather, you know, climate controlled safety, like all the things. It's just going to be amazing. When you climb, do you always climb indoors, or do you do some of the outdoor climbing as well?
You know, most of our climbing's been indoors.
Okay.
We'll occasionally do outdoor when weather permits.
What's a climb that you like to do here in town?
Snow Canyon has some nice climbs.
Yeah, they really do. I live in Santa Clara, which is just outside of Ivins, and that's where Snow Canyon is. But we literally live like a 3-minute drive from Snow Canyon. We're right on the border.
So nice.
There, and we spend a lot of time. I don't climb. I'm not a rock climber, but we spend a lot of time hiking and just enjoying the area. And for those who are listening, if you haven't experienced Snow Canyon, you need to.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful place. Yeah, a lot of people refer to it as kind of a mini Zion. I don't feel like it's a mini Zion. It's its own thing, but it's worth the time.
And so much more accessible than Zion, and just some great short day trips.
Yeah. So you brought it up. You're thinking about entering. Let me encourage you to do so. We're going to have a great inaugural event. Now's the time to get in on the ground floor so that you can, start building the history and the tradition. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. Seniorgames.net, of course, is the website. Let's talk about mountain biking for a minute. Have you ever done competitive mountain biking, or is that more just recreational?
Well, I've done some competitive mountain biking. I've done True Grit, which is a local
St. George
venue.
Yeah.
Which is some of the races that they do around town.
Yeah.
My kids have done the high school mountain bike team.
Okay.
So that's where we got started with that.
Which club did they race for?
Originally with the Flying Monkeys.
The Flying Monkeys.
If you remember, yep. The Flying Monkeys.
Yeah.
And they broke up, and we had one son that raced with Pine View and had a couple that raced with Crimson.
Awesome. Yeah, I think mountain biking is such a great sport for these high school kids. And it's just really, in our area, has just exploded, but I know in other areas as well. I'm just saying, we have mountain biking at the games as well. So we've got two for four here so far. We don't offer skiing quite yet, but we do have a trail run event that is similar to hiking. Some of our athletes end up hiking. Many of them are able to run the whole course. But I think we're right up your alley, Dr. Butterfield.
I think that, I was a little surprised. I guess you don't realize as you're aging, but a friend of mine, I saw him out running and I asked him, hey, what are you up to? And he told me he's training for the Huntsman Senior Games.
Yeah.
I think you have a 10K event that
we do
to participate in.
Absolutely.
And he's 2 years younger than me. And it was a little bit like, oh.
What's going on?
I didn't know that I could do that, but I can.
Many people are surprised to find out that a senior athlete is a different designation than a senior citizen. So, when you turn 65, you get that discount at the buffet, and that's, kind of the hallmark of a senior citizen. Senior athlete is just a different thing. It starts at 50. That doesn't mean that you're old. It doesn't mean you're beyond the ability to compete. We certainly see that that is not the case among our athletes. It's just a designation. You got to start somewhere. And so we start at 50 years old, and I just turned 50 this year myself, so I'm looking forward to competing.
What's your activity?
I'm going to do the 5K with my mom.
Nice.
She's been running for the past several years in the 5K, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then we also do an indoor rowing event, and I'm planning on doing a relay with my wife for that one. And then, it's hard to, do everything that you want to do. I'll have to kind of space it out over the years because there's so much going on when the games are going on that require administrative attention. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've been engaged with the games this is my 17th games. So I've been around for a long time and just watched so many amazing athletes do the things that they love to do. And I've been kind of chomping at the bit just a little bit as I got closer and closer and closer. And now it's here. And I was registered early and ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity. Like I said, wasn't on my radar until 2 weeks ago.
Well, make sure that it's on your radar and continues to be. And let me put in a plug one more time. Seniorgames.net is where you go to register. But Dr. Butterfield, thank you so much for joining us today, for sharing your expertise and your experiences. And we wish you all the best. And we'll try to keep a manageable flow of patients to your facility, if that's okay.
We can completely handle it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Just a couple of reminders to wrap us up here very quickly. I've been mentioning it all show, but I do want to make sure that everyone knows that individual athlete registration is open. Don't miss out on it. We have many of our individual sports that fill up quite quickly, so don't delay. Get yourself registered today for the 2024 Huntsman World Senior Games. And once again, everything you need to know, from schedules to rules to everything you need to do to register, it's all at seniorgames.net. Next week's guest is Idona Clark, who plans to complete her 24th marathon this year. Idona has a pacemaker and has learned to make adjustments to accommodate this device. She's going to share with us some entertaining, along with inspiring stories, as well as some of the challenges that she has faced over the years as a runner. We want to remind you to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and we turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. If you happen to be listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating or write a quick review. It's very easy to do. Just scroll down to the bottom of your iPhone and shoot us some stars there on the app. You can find this as well as previous shows also on our website, which is once again seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought, it comes from Stephen Covey, and he said, "I am not a product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions," which I think is great advice for all of us to remember. Until next Thursday, stay active.